Father in heaven, it's an amazing opportunity that we have today. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for pouring your spirit out upon me and this congregation today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, literally for giving me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. Father, I have notes. I've been studying. But Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way as we yield ourselves to you. Father, I thank you that we all have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. And that today, Lord, your word is being sown on good ground. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we will live again. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. We have four core values at New Day, and we're going to repeat them. Please repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt so certain about something, so certain that you totally knew it? In my wife's industry, there's something called a SME, S-M-E. It's a subject matter expert. It's an acronym. You're so certain. You're so sure. Only to later find out that there's so much more. I grew up Baptist. As you guys saw, it's Friday night with Pastor Frank Starks. That's how my daddy did every Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And I was so certain. I was so certain. Then one day in an office building, somebody was praying for someone else. And they said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I leaned in and said, what is that? Because I was certain. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit me. And I began to speak in other tongues. Prior to that, I was certain. So then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was certain that I had it all. Then I learned about divine healing. And I was 30 years old and I had a stroke. Prior to that, I was certain. Because if I hadn't learned about divine healing, I don't know that in the midst of that stroke, I would have prayed for the power of God to heal my body in that moment. Because see, the way I grew up, it was like in the sweet by and by. I needed something right now. I had three little boys and a mother-in-law that had lupus and like 17 other diseases. And I did not want to leave my wife having to push me around in a wheelchair, push her mom around in a wheelchair. Brian and David were barely walking at that time, and she was going to depend on Lavelle to help her. But prior to that, I was so certain. I want to talk to you today about a lady named Martha. Say, Pastor, it's Easter. I know. Stay with me. And for you really holy people, it's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Now, Martha was very close to Jesus. She was close to Jesus. We're going to see that in a moment. But she was close, but she was still far away. She did not fully understand the power that was available to her. She didn't get it. She didn't get it. And my concern is that a lot of us don't get it. Turn your hand out over, please. Gotcha. You thought I was going to start there, didn't you? This is a pre-crucifixion event here. And I believe Jesus was just preparing those around him for what was going to take place in a few days. I think that's what he was doing here. And often Jesus will allow us to experience things to give us just a precursor of what's to come. Let me introduce you to Luke 10. Let me just tell you this backstory. Jesus had some friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He would hang out with them. Whenever he would roll through town, he would just kick it with them for a moment, okay? Now, one time when he was there, Mary was seated at his feet, listening, taking it all in. Martha was walking in her gift, which is serving, hospitality, taking care of people. Martha was also bossy, domineering, and dictatorial. She was arrogant. So she goes to Jesus and says, Master, tell my sister, okay, this is my translation, tell my sister to get up and come in and help me. I'm up in this kitchen doing all this by myself, and she in this kicking it with you. And Jesus says, not happening. She's chosen the best part. One thing you have need of. And Mary's chosen that. And see, many of us, we get so busy with life that we don't sit at his feet. Now see, Martha was around Jesus. She knew Jesus. She had Jesus in her home. I need you to see this. A lot of you, you got Jesus in your home. You come to church every Sunday. You sing on a praise team. You serve in children's. You're out in the parking lot. I've been on a missions trip. Glory. But is there more? That resurrection power? Things that are resurrected are things that are dead. And some of us, even though we're alive, we're dead. Some of y'all watch the show Walking Dead, right? I've never seen it, but it's about zombies, right? And that's not a condemnation. It really isn't. Because God in heaven knows, I want you to live. I don't want you to live again. He said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's pick the story up here in John 11. We're going to start at verse 17. And a little bit of backstory on this. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick, very sick. But the thing is that Jesus doesn't move. He stays where he is for 2 days. Yeah. I felt like that too. Lord, like, okay, Lord, the deadline is coming. Lord, it's due on the 10th. Today is the 8th. And old school Tony said, where you at, Jesus? Not where are you? Where you at? Holla at a brother. The deadline is looming. Well, then the 10th comes. But, you know, and then my dad used to say, he might not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And then all of a sudden, it's the 11th. Then it's the 12th. And then your wife is looking at me like, what we going to do? John 11, verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. I need you guys to think for a moment, how or what is Mary and Martha feeling? They were friends. Jesus would come to their house. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment, okay? And I know most of you know this story, but stay with me, because even right then, that spirit of familiarity came over you. I heard this. I know this. Stay with me, please. 18. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. So close. And many of the people had come, say many people, had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. 20, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Now, I like Martha. Martha's a different kind of animal here. She's a different kind of sister. She goes to meet Jesus. 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's good faith, but are you certain? The more I get into the Word of God, the more I understand that God has purpose in everything. He'll use every hurt. Thank you. Thank you. One of you getting it. Hallelujah. I mean, the rest of you catch up. Because I know that's difficult, because you don't want to deal with some pain. I understand that. I'm so anti-pain. I'm so anti-discomfort. The thought of this flight to England and then to South Africa, 11 hours each way, and we fly in economy. In the name of Jesus. I'm already taking a sword. Okay. Watch this. 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Yeah. Okay, right on. Okay, wait. But even now, I know. Or does she? You think you know. I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at you. I need you to just hear me for a moment, okay? Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Now, watch her response. 24, yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. And this is where it gets fun, because you think you know. You think you know. I got 2 years school of ministry, Pastor. Great. I've been serving in church all my life. Great. 66 books in the Bible. Great. I know a guy. I literally know a guy who knows every feast in the Old Testament. Old Testament guru. Backwards and forwards. Knows every detail, every fact. He's amazing. And he's one of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah, he knows the Bible, but he doesn't know the resurrection power. There hasn't been a transformation in his mind and his spirit. Getting on the freeway, cussing people out. On your way to Bible study. Now, Martha's not at that extreme, but she feels she knows. She says she got to figure it out. I know, at the end. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. One of the things I want to challenge everyone on is learn to ask questions. Because see, you get to the point where you just spitting out statements and facts, there's no more growth for you. I love it how people come to counseling and gonna tell me how to counsel them. It's funny, we think we know. And there's so much more available for us. God bless Martha. I'm not mad at her, but Jesus was physically in her house, and she still didn't get it. How could we be missing it also? 25, Jesus told her, watch this. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. It's bigger than your brother. It's bigger than your loss. I am the resurrection and the life. And for some of us, we won't approach Jesus as that. Let's keep reading. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Hallelujah. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And watch this. Do you believe this, Martha? Why would he ask that? He picked up something. And even though I'm quote-unquote Pastor Tony, I still want to make sure that I'm always operating in faith, that I'm believing, that I haven't got it figured out. 27, yes, Lord, she told him, I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Yeah, okay, got it. That's a Savior. But what about healer, deliverer? Not mad at her. She was talking about the future, and Jesus was talking about right now. I am, not I will be. And some of you know religion. And some of you struggle like, I got to go to church today. Everybody going to show up. They don't come no other time. You know what? Leave people alone. Leave them alone. You got your issues too. For some people, they did everything it took just to get here. Somebody said, communicated to me once about, like, okay, pastor, they look forward to Easter just because it's full of people. No, I look forward to Easter because here's an opportunity for people to really, really get to know Jesus and really get breakthrough in their life. This might be the day that they turn around. I might not see them again for another 365 days. So that's what I'm excited about. You making an assumption right there. 28. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary, watch this, Martha went to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners. King James says she called her in secret. What's up with that, Martha? The teacher is here and wants to see you. 29, so Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. 31, and the people who were at his house, or at the house consoling Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. I got another question. Why did anybody follow Martha? What is it about her personality? People are like, yeah, you go ahead. You mourn by yourself. She got skills to pay the bills. She had her own house. It's pretty good for a woman. She was well-to-do, her and Mary. Because later on, you know, Mary had this ointment that cost like 10 months' wages. So we're talking about some 20-some thousand-dollar perfume. They had it going on. But see, that's what I'm saying. You can have it going on, too, and still not know. 31, 32. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet. Oh, now she's a little different from Martha. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And here comes Mary. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Now, notice what Jesus says to her. He didn't say anything. Mary said the same thing in Martha, but she got a different response from Jesus. Look at 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. I had to study this out in Greek. I'm like, what were you troubled about? He was just hurting for them. He was just moved with compassion. He felt their pain, and he didn't say a word. And that's a lesson for a lot of us right now. When you see somebody hurting, girl, I know what you're going through. Let me tell you what happened with me. I remember I had my gallbladder pulled out, too. Let me tell you about Kaiser. Sometimes people just want you to sit. You ain't got to say nothing. Just listen. You ain't always got to say something. You don't need to tell your testimony. How the Lord brought you through and you got somebody. Hey. Look at Jesus here. He didn't say, like my daddy said, a mumbling word. 34. Where have you put him? He asked him. They told him, Lord, come and see. 35. Then Jesus wept. He cried. He cried. 36. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, you know, yeah, right. Look, check this out, though. This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? I love the naysayers. I love the naysayers. Because now you're making an assumption. See, I've learned something. I've learned something. Jack and I do this. When we see something and we don't understand, Lord, why are you allowing us to experience this? Yes. Ask questions. What is it you're inviting me to be a part of? Because see, there's everything that happened in my life. He could have stopped it. He could have prevented it. But if he allowed it, it must be for my purpose. And my faith has to be big enough to understand. Because see, I'm going to tell you something. That's when it's all about you, is when you start crying and getting in rebellion and rebuking. Another sermon. Let's keep going. 38. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. 39. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. I thought this was what you wanted. But now she got something to say. There she goes. Watch this. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. How is you about to get blessed? And you can say, you know, some people. And I know probably, who is he mad at? No one. No one. But God's about to bless you or give you something. And then I saw this thing on YouTube. And nowadays, you know, whenever a guy's going to propose, he can have his friend hide in the bushes to take pictures of it and all that. And he's proposing to this lady. And she recognized what's about to go. And she's like, no, wait, the lighting's all wrong. Turn around, do it this way. He's about to give her what she wants. And she's worried about the smell. And I love Jesus, verse 40. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you? Just stop right there. I get a picture of my mother. Boy, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? You can know Christ and not believe. You can know Christ and still not have that power. This was a lady who was right there with Jesus. He would come to her house, and she still didn't know. And a lot of you assume you know. And see, the thing is, because you have a little success in life, and I do mean little compared to God's, I'm not discounting anybody. I like success. I read success books. I go to success seminars. I want to be successful. My wife seems to love me more when things are going better. Now, I ain't say she did. I said it seemed like. I could be wrong. But she just seems to smile more when we're in Hawaii. Hey.
Verse 41. So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. And this is a funny prayer. This is a funny prayer. Watch this. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people around here. Because they don't get it. That's my version. Okay. I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here. So that they will believe you sent me. So this whole thing is so they will understand who he was and he had the power over death. Because in a few days, he's about to go to the cross himself. But yet and still, even though the disciples saw Lazarus get up, later on they still doubted when they saw Jesus. If these 12 people, 11 people who walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, slept with Jesus, went from city to city with Jesus, they saw Lazarus rise from the dead. They helped Jesus feed 5,000, another time feed 4,000. If they didn't get it, I can't assume that I get it. I haven't seen Jesus. I know some of you have. You have your visions and dreams. Hallelujah. Good for you. He hasn't appeared at the foot of my bed before. He didn't meet me at the park. I haven't had that. I ain't mad with you. I wasn't sitting on a rock at a beach and he manifested and told me what to do. I haven't had that experience. But if these people who walk with him, spend time with him, and here I am 2,000 years removed, I better keep asking questions. I want to understand that resurrection power. I want it in my life. I don't want to assume just because my daddy was a pastor and my granddaddy was a pastor and I speak in tongues that all of a sudden I got it down. I'm not assuming that. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And a dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes. His face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. What was once dead is now alive again. And I want you to know Martha still didn't get it. A couple of days later, Jesus is sitting. You can read it later, John 12. And there's Lazarus sitting next to him, and many people, especially John 12, 9, many people had come to see, we heard about this. And Mary comes in with this ointment and breaks it, and the odor fills the room, and everybody's excited. And it says, Martha served. Resurrected Savior. I mean, the guy that resurrected your brother, sinner, and you still doing your normal. And that's my concern about a lot of us, New Day, family. That next year is going to look just like this year. And in 2020, I was telling Bishop Ed, we're preparing for 2020. Okay, that's going to be the special year. Everybody going to have a special program, 2020 Vision, 2020. I already know this, okay? We're working on association. I already, 2020, we look. I know it's coming, all right? We're already planning. We're going to do our conference, too. That's going to be the theme. Watch. That's how it's going to go down. But for some, 2020 is going to look just like 2018. And I don't want it. The power to an ability, and that's what the word power means. It's, power in Greek is dunamis, which is dynamic ability, okay? It's where we get the word dynamite from. The power ability to overcome even that which looks dead lies within us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He rose from the grave and exclaimed, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. And I want you to know that very same power that raised Jesus and Lazarus from the dead, it dwells inside of us. Now, turn your handout back over to the front page, please. And I hope now you'll understand the two scriptural texts, our foundational text today. Romans 8, and this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Rome. I like to pretend he's writing a letter to the church in Corona. He's writing to the Romans, he's writing to the Coronians right now. Bless God. I need to make it alive. I need to personalize this. I need to understand it's not just some ancient text. A man wrote the Bible. This is the Spirit of the living God articulated this, and that's why it's alive. Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. I want life. I want life. I want my life so bad, I used to run for my life. You grew up in Compton. Life is valuable to me. Black lives matter. This black life matters. Mm. Yeah, hashtag that. Verse Romans 8:10. Okay. All right. And Christ lives within you. Okay, all right, cool. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And see, many of us never tap into that. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And see, right now, there's something we call logos versus rhema. Logos is when you read the Word of God. You read it, you can have it all memorized. But rhema is when God speaks to you and it becomes alive. It's when that word becomes alive to you. You hear it and it's, you know, and like Elder Joyce, we laugh sometimes during a week in office with somebody say something good or we'll see something or a preacher and it's like, ooh, they hit me in my shata. See, that's rhema. That's when the, oh, I got that. Oh, whoa. And you get this revelation, you understand. It's like, whoa, Jesus, yes, yes, that's mine. I'm laying hold of that. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by his same Spirit living within you. Oh, what I need that. I need to live again. I need to live. I need, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I know about despair. I know about hopelessness. I know about you don't know tomorrow. I understand that. I get that. And for you guys that are smarter than me, great. I'm glad you're good. Hallelujah. But not all of us are intellectually there. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, comfort the feeble-minded. Feeble-minded means in Greek, weaken the soul, weaken the psyche, the mind, the will, emotions. Some people struggle. And they need some kind of comfort. They need to know that the power of God can rise up with them and help quench that anguish that they're experiencing. They need to live again. And living again doesn't mean you got a bigger car, a bigger house. So what, you got 4 bedrooms instead of 3? Hallelujah. That's not the Zoe kind of life, because the Zoe life, the God kind of life, it doesn't consist of a man in a man's abundance of his material possessions. It doesn't. Because many of you got more stuff and you got more problems. Ephesians. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. I also pray that you will understand. And that's what a lot of us don't do. We don't understand. Paul is writing a church to the letter in Corona saying, I pray that you guys understand. He's writing a letter to the church in New Day saying, I pray that you understand. I see people don't understand. I know you don't understand. I know you don't understand because I look at your life. And that's not a condemnation. But if you want to go from death to life, you need to get some understanding. Because when you lack understanding, the enemy has access to your life. The devil loves ignorance. And some of us, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. See, the thing is, a lot of us, we've had something down on us a long time ago. God, now you believe. You know you have eternal life. You know you have eternal life. But see, I learned something. Just like Jesus screamed, he shouted at Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. See, a long time ago, he screamed at me, Tony, come out. And I came out with them grave clothes on. And I needed somebody to unwrap me, loose me, and let me go. And I know God is telling some of you guys to come out. Elder Abraham, he said, come out. He said, come out. Phineas, he said, come out. Sandy, come out. And you come out with your grave clothes. But you know what? In a minute, I'm going to get unwrapped. I'm going to get loose. I'm about to get set free. I'm about to step into my purpose and destiny. I'm about to be all he created me to be. I'm about to fulfill my purpose. I got destiny inside of me. I got something to do. I'm not dead anymore. I'm not playing short anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm coming out. Resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in me. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Resurrection power, resurrection power, resurrection power, resurrection power. He is God, Lord Almighty. There is none like him. He makes a way when there is no way. He is my bridge over troubled water. He is my rock. He is my strong tower. He is my shelter. He is my shield and my buckler. He is my very present help in a time of need. Resurrection power. He said, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Unwrap them grave clothes. Loose him. Step into your purpose. Become all he created you to be. He died and rose again so I could live again. Glory, hallelujah. Bless your name, Heavenly Father. You're worthy of all praise, worthy of all glory. Bow your heads, please. God in heaven, we thank you for that resurrection power. You may be seated. We thank you for that resurrection power. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the same power. That power, that dunamis power. Father, my prayer is that the people are new, they understand it, Heavenly Father. And Lord, the marriages that are dead.